Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Sports Radio
104.3 The Fan presents. 5 o'clock. Zach Bye, Daniel Sanders will be here in just a couple minutes. You can watch everything at on Facebook.
I'm sure the 16-year-old who hacked my account in Baghdad will have it tuned up. Had my Facebook stolen from me.
Is he in the green zone?
What is that?
I don't know. Just something I think they have in Baghdad.
If we are friends on Facebook, unfollow me. The whole thing's in Arabic and kid runs it now.
Okay.
Facebook has not helped me.
Looking forward for Emmanuel being in here. Yeah, we've had definitely a interesting media athlete relationship for the past few years, although it hasn't been all that dramatic recently.
Kind of cooled.
Yeah,
it's almost gotten a little bit light. It feels like there was some.
It's fine by me.
Friendly emojis.
It's okay by me. You know, last year was. Ah, man, how do you describe last year? Last year just felt like a lost year from start to finish. Like, there just never felt like there was any momentum going into last year. And there were a lot of doubts about, you know, where things were going and how they were going to get there. There was a lot, like, riding on the shoulders, it seemed, of Case Keenum. And what I just never understood was that. I never got it. I never understood what the deal was or why that was the case. Keenum. So, because a lot of it still was, it was Case Keenum, but it was also like, it was still Paxton Lynch. Like, you know, the whole development of the team last year was still like, we've got Case, but we also have Paxton Lynch. And they just didn't seem to move on, but they did move on from Trevor Siemian. Now they got rid of Trevor. He's out the door. He's in Minnesota. They didn't draft a quarterback, period. I mean, they didn't draft a quarterback in the first round, where I thought they should have. They didn't go, you know, Mike Evans' khaki pants strategy and draft a quarterback in the second through fourth round. Nobody.
There was no Zach Dysert, Chad Kelly, Trevor Siemian.
Well, Chad Kelly was there. I mean, Chad
got drafted the year before.
That's right. But he had recovered and he was around. But Chad was just, you know, he was never really part of the plan. And then he went all Woody from Toy Story.
You got to reach for the sky, man.
There's a snake in my boot. That was a tough Halloween party, man. That was a tough Halloween party.
We got to ask Emmanuel about the Halloween party at some point. At some point, I do want to get to football, too, hopefully.
What Halloween party?
Yeah, the Halloween party, to me, is just, you know, that to me is death by inches. It's not that big of a deal, but it's one of those things that just took up time and was, like, so unnecessary. You shouldn't be having HR meetings and investigations, you know, after your Halloween party.
Yeah.
By the way, the Broncos had a company Halloween party that, you know, was just fine, like afterwards. You know, you can, I don't know how many Halloween parties you need.
Well, they've always had a Halloween party, and it's always been sort of, you know, like in-house.
It got,
like, it's more intimate.
It's been getting bigger and bigger, apparently.
There's like 700 people there.
Yeah,
I thought about trying to get in.
Did you know what was going on? Are you being serious?
I heard that there was going to be a Halloween party. I sure did.
Did you know it was going to be at the Gothic Theater?
Yes, I did.
Really?
I did.
See? Now, how did you know that? How did you get that little information?
Oh,
right. What would I do with a Halloween party? I'm like 49 years old. What am I going to go as? Your dad? Hey, everybody, I'm your dad. Your dad's here. Everybody, your dad's here. I'm your dad.
Like that old dude from the Progressive commercials. Can I get the boys me a round of jalapeno poppers?
So, there he is. There it is. It's that. Oh, come on. There it is. All right. It's happening.
This is 3 years in the making here, man.
All right, with the music and everything.
Kind of newsy they got.
They got Nas going on right now. You hate me now.
Hey, this how I feel about him. That's how I feel about him. He can hate me now.
Emmanuel, thank you for being here.
Yeah, man. Thanks
for having
me.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, finally. Why you accept the tweet? I've been trying to tweet at you for a while. Like, let me come in the studio. How come you waited so long?
I always said you could come on in.
Did you?
I think so.
How come you just now set it up, though? I've been trying to set it up. Why you take so long?
Oh, okay.
I'm not coming out firing any.
I just wanted to ask a question.
You know?
Why are you here?
I mean, I'm here because I want to know, like, what's your problem? I feel like everybody wants to know, like, what's your problem with me? Like, there was a situation where you sit back and said the Broncos should cut Emmanuel Sanders. You said that I'm a cancer in the locker room.
I did not say that.
You definitely said that I was a cancer in the locker room.
See, this is
when I knew that you were going to come and everything that I said that you were going to say, you didn't say. But it's a reason why I'm here right now.
I take offense to that, Emmanuel. I've got a personal reason.
You definitely have said that I'm a cancer.
I definitely have not.
Yes, you have.
I dare you to have, man, I'm going to tell you.
Have you said anything of that sort?
Can I just tell you
anything,
why?
Have you said anything
you
close
why,
to that?
Can I tell you why I've never said that?
Have you said anything close
to
that?
Hold on.
Have you said anything close? Have you ever said that the Broncos should cut Emmanuel Sanders?
I probably said that.
And you said it's something about my personality or the way that I carry myself that the reason why it's not my play on the field.
It's not your play on the field.
No, you said it was because of who I am as a person that they should cut me, right?
That is correct.
And so that's pretty much saying that I'm a cancer in the Broncos locker room.
Emmanuel, I'll tell you exactly why it's not. And I'm getting a little offended right off the bat for you saying that.
Why are you getting offended? You said it.
Because I had a personal relationship with a 14-year-old kid who died of cancer. And I was dealing with that for the past couple of years.
Oh, so you're talking about, okay, so you're talking about from that standpoint.
You got to understand something.
But
I would never, hold on. You brought it up.
You understand the lingo that I'm trying to say, though. People say.
Oh, so you just want to dust over that.
I'm sitting back and saying that people do say that people are cancers in locker rooms. Why are you trying to give all into the... You're getting way too deep in this. We're talking about a conversation
I didn't say that, though.
Okay, you didn't say that I was a cancer, but you... Okay, so let's start here then. You said that I am a problem in the Broncos locker room.
That was true.
You did not say that I was a cancer, okay? You know, a 14-year-old kid. Also, my grandfather had cancer. So if I offended anyone out there, I am sorry, but that's not the direction that I even wanted to go with this conversation. That's where you took it because obviously you feel some type of way.
You are being literal. You are being literal.
Exactly. So what problem do you have with me that you would say that the Broncos should cut me personality-wise when you don't even know me?
Well, you realize, well, maybe you don't realize, but I said that maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Do you listen to the show?
No, I don't listen to your show.
Okay.
I don't listen to your show. I only go by what you tweet out.
Okay.
And what you tweet out...
When was the last negative tweet that you remember me saying about you?
It don't matter because this has been going on for 2 or 3 years where me and you were sitting back, let's talk about it. But you have been avoiding me, so now all of a sudden...
How have I been avoiding you?
I've been trying to... You could ask all of Denver who's been on Twitter. I've been trying to come in the studio with you for like 2 years and now you accept it. So for me, we're talking about the past because I've been wanting to come in here and address this situation. So I want to know, obviously, so you don't have a problem with me anymore, right?
Not really.
So
no.
You changed your mind on me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Emmanuel, I've been talking about that for the better part of a year. But you don't listen to the show, so that's fine. And that's fine that you don't listen to the show.
Well, where's my apology or something?
Apology for what?
I don't know. I mean,
for what? Tell me what I should apologize for.
I mean, you said that the Broncos should cut me. What was your reason behind that?
2 years ago.
What was your reason behind that?
Emmanuel, you weren't a strong leader where you needed to be a strong leader.
How do you even know that? How do you know that?
Well, that's my opinion.
No, but exactly.
Based on things I've seen.
What have you
based
seen?
Based on people I've talked to.
What have you seen?
And impressions that I've...
What have people said to you about me that made you say that they should cut me? Or did you just use that so that you can say something to draw controversy so that people could talk about it or you can get more followers on Twitter?
No.
Like, that's the impression that I get from you.
You don't know anything about me. Right? You don't know anything about me.
I mean, I don't. If I would have came at you and said, you don't know anything about me either, right? So if somebody would have said if somebody would have said something about you, and I would have tweeted about it, and I would have talked about it, and you would have felt some type of way, right? As well, right?
Okay.
So when somebody when I hear that some person, you're the only person really in Denver that said the Broncos should cut me, when I work my butt off, I literally lead these guys every single day. I'm passionate about what I do, and so if I wasn't passionate about what I do, I feel like the people in Denver, they love me because when you see me play football, they know that I'm passionate. I work my butt off. So when somebody says something to me about what I'm passionate about doing, that's the reason why I got to hit you up. Like, bro, you really don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe I don't. Maybe I don't. Let me ask you this. Who are you today compared to who you were 3 years ago?
I mean, people grow. People grow. But I feel like my love for the game and the person I am in a locker room.
Not questioning that. As a person, who are you today different than you were 3 years ago?
Yeah, people grow. People grow. People grow.
Where are you in your life today where different than you were 3 years ago?
Right now in my life, I feel like I'm in the same spot, except I got two kids. And I got.
Well, that's a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. I mean.
Are you based here in Denver?
Yeah.
Your whole family?
I'm based here in Denver.
Whole family's here in Denver?
Whole family.
Okay. Is that significantly different than 3 years ago?
I was living in Houston. I was going back and forth.
You're going back and forth.
Yeah.
Are things more stable for you now than they've probably ever been in your personal life?
I would say that.
Do you feel like you've grown as a human being and as a person and are a better father and husband than you've ever been?
I feel like I've always been a great father. Husband-wise, I have grown to be a better husband.
Okay.
So you're probably a different person now. No.
To everybody.
We're talking about
than you were 3 years ago.
Say again, this is what you're doing. You're taking when I say you said I was a cancer and you bring up a 14,
you bring it literally.
So now you're taking my personal life. You're taking my personal life and you're combining my personal life with what I do on the football field and how I am as a teammate. My personal life has nothing to do with what I do on the football field.
That's what I'm trying to let you know, that
you're trying to judge my personal life when it has nothing to do with. This is a sports radio show, bro. This is a sports radio show in which you talk about sports. And what have I been doing on the field for you to say that Emmanuel Sanders should not be on the Broncos? You should cut this guy. Like, I don't understand that concept.
How did the Broncos get from winning a Super Bowl to where we are today?
You want me to answer that truthfully?
Of course.
I'm pretty sure we had a quarterback by the name of Peyton Manning at quarterback.
Okay.
If you know anything about sports, the quarterback is the main position. The quarterback touches the ball every single play in football. The quarterback determines the outcome of games, and we have yet to find us a quarterback. That's evident.
What was Trevor?
We had Peyton Manning. We had Peyton Manning as a quarterback, one of the all-time greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. He had this city on fire. He was the number one offense in the NFL for a very long time, a great leader in the locker room, and we have yet to replace him.
What was Trevor?
Trevor was a quarterback.
What kind of quarterback was he?
Trevor wasn't a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Okay. Then 2 years of Trevor, right?
Yeah.
What was Paxton Lynch?
A quarterback.
What kind of quarterback?
He wasn't a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
What kind of quarterback, though?
He wasn't a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Well, he's a first round draft pick.
He wasn't a Super Bowl winning quarterback. What do you want me to say? Where are you going with this?
I'm trying to figure out, Emmanuel, where we're at.
I just told you where we at. We have yet to find a quarterback.
Who was Case Keenum?
A quarterback.
Okay.
What do you want me to tell you?
All right.
What you want me to throw these guys under the bus?
That's
where you go wrong with me because I love these guys.
Okay.
I don't think you understand that. I love my teammates. I love the Broncos organization. I love the city of Denver. I love my teammates. I would never throw my teammates under the bus. Did they get the job done? No, they did not get the job. You want to change the subject talking?
No. We don't have to throw them under the bus.
What are we talking about?
We don't have to throw them under the bus. Does the Super Bowl seem like it was a long time ago or yesterday?
I mean, with the seasons that we had, it seems like it was a long time ago.
You are the only offensive player from the Super Bowl on the team right now.
Yeah. Can I use this?
Yeah. How do you feel about that? And where do you think that sets the team up moving forward?
You know, it's the NFL, man. It's the NFL. People leave, people go. But, you know, at the end of the day, Elway's trying to do his best to put together a team to try to win a Super Bowl again.
So things are different now than they were a couple years ago, right? Things are changed.
Where are you going with this?
For the past year, I have said the most important person on offense for the Broncos is Emmanuel Sanders.
I've never seen you tweet that.
I don't know what I tweet. Well, I mean, tweet it. Would you feel better if I tweeted it?
Paul,
I mean,
can I just say one thing? In fairness, he does like talk for, and I'm not riding for D-Mac. I'm not sticking up for D-Mac, but he does talk for 3 hours a day. He has said that a lot, and he just maybe has not tweeted it.
So everybody,
I'm happy to tweet.
So everybody in Denver, right? The reason why I'm here. You know how many people walked up to me today looking forward to this interview? You know it, and I know it.
A lot.
So think about this. If you talk so well about me, and you so
for the
well,
past year, yeah.
For the past year.
Yeah,
right?
Not before that.
How come everybody's always tweeting me about D-Mac and the way that you feel about me, but nobody ever has tweeted me, man, D-Mac respects you, man.
I can't tell you that. I don't know what people do on Twitter.
So that's the reason why I'm here right now, because I just wanted to know what was the problem with, like, what was the problem? And obviously, like, I came here, I didn't come here saying, oh yeah, I'm gonna dig into D-Mac and this. I said, man, you know what? Remember when I tweeted you? And I was just being petty and I smiled at you. I said, man, I feel like it was the last time I had tweeted at you.
Was it just like a week and a half ago or so?
Yeah, probably so. I don't know.
Yeah, that kind of came out of the blue. Yeah. I mean, I definitely wasn't.
I was just having fun with you because.
Well, that's fine.
Because I sit back and I said, you know what? You might have been talking great about me on air, but
I have been for the past year.
Yeah, I don't listen to 104.3, but
all right.
You know, I don't really listen to the radio. That's no shot at you guys.
No
I don't
problem.
Listen to the radio, but I said, you know what, I'm just gonna be having fun with the guys.
And what I do
truthfully, this is the reason why I really came here, because I just wanted to really just get to know you as a person. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Because
I appreciate that.
Truthfully, bro, like, I don't know you and you don't know me. And
nope.
So I just wanted to show him and be like, you know what? This guy, he's just saying stuff about me. And he really doesn't know who I am. And probably when we meet each other, we probably going to be cool. You know?
Probably.
So, strong personalities.
Well, let me tell you this. Just for the past year. First of all, like we were talking about, this past season for the Broncos, Emmanuel, let me tell you a little bit about myself then. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm old, all right? I'm almost 50.
Man, you look 21, man.
Thanks, I appreciate it. But when I was in third grade, my dad moved us out to Colorado, and I became, for 1 year, we lived in Steamboat Springs, and all I wanted to do was root for the Denver Broncos. Little kid, third grade, Mrs. Stanko's class in Steamboat Springs. I wanted an Orange Crush t-shirt for Christmas. That's all I wanted. Such a fan. They went to the Super Bowl, and they lost in devastating fashion to the Cowboys and whatever. So you got to understand something, Emmanuel. I've been kind of a Broncos fan for a long, long time. I moved out here in 1999.
Yeah.
So I've been covering the Broncos since 1999, day in, day out.
All right, where are we going?
I always want the Broncos to do well.
Yeah, so you're upset that the Broncos not doing well.
Yes.
And
you know why? The big reason...
And so when the Broncos not doing well, you hash out and you bash players. Is that what you do?
We speak honestly about what we think is going on.
But sometimes you
it might come across like that. But if you don't listen, you don't know what we say.
I only go by what I see you say. I can't go by everything that you say.
Maybe,
I'm not around
maybe,
you 24/7, and I don't know you.
You can tune in sometime. It'd be cool.
I don't know you. I tune in. I come right up here and listen to you talk.
I'm trying to give some perspective in terms of last year.
I'm just trying to let you know that. Yes, you're a diehard Bronco fan, but you want to know one thing that I respect about Broncos fans is that even when we're down, we literally just won a Super Bowl, man. These fans, they are the most loyal fans, bro. Like, they don't bash. They always look.
Oh, that's not true.
You gotta be kidding me. Listen.
Dude.
Listen,
I can turn on our text line right now. It's ridiculous.
I mean, listen, one person don't represent the whole. You get what I'm saying?
Sports fans in general, Emmanuel,
I play for the Steelers where they really bash.
Okay.
Listen, we haven't had a winning season in, what, 3 years?
2 years. In 2 years.
Okay.
Didn't make the playoffs.
The stadium is still packed. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's diehard to me, right? That's diehard.
Okay.
Right? they don't really bash. They always look forward to next season. That's one. That's one thing. So hold on.
A Broncos fan can't be critical of his team.
No, it's not.
That's not a fan. You're not a fan.
See, you're not being critical though. You're being emotional and you're bashing. You're bashing a person. Right? You're bashing just like my boy Jake Butt. He walked up to me. He was like, "Yo, what does he have against me of talking about my injuries when he doesn't even know the work that I'm putting
Jake
in?"
Jake Butt. I'm like the biggest Jake Butt fan there is. So this guy right here wants to draft TJ Hawkinson, and I literally said 20 minutes ago, what about Jake Butt? So listen to this.
I'm telling you about you as a person now, okay? Hold on, listen. So if you're such a Jake Butt fan,
yes,
I'm literally in a hot tub this morning.
Yeah,
this man is recovering from an ACL.
Yeah,
and he walks up to
third
me.
One.
He walks up to me and says, "Tell him what problem does he have with me in talking about my injury." So hold on, that is very insane. And you know what's even more insane?
What's that?
The fact that you're like, "Emmanuel, why are you here in the studio right now?" Maybe the messages that you portrayed and you come across, you say stuff to players, and you look, we're in a sport where people criticize, but the stuff that you say comes off very disrespectful, bro. Well, it's very disrespectful.
But you don't listen to the show, so how do you know what I say?
You tweet. How many times I gotta tell you this, bro? You tweet, and it comes off very disrespectful. And guess what?
Good luck finding a tweet about me criticizing Jake Butt.
It's not.
It's never happened.
So why did Jake Butt?
I don't know. I'd love to talk to Jake about it.
I'm bringing up Jake Butt right now because he talked to me this morning in the hot tub.
Because a lot of times, Emmanuel, what happens? And I've been doing this for 32 years on the radio. People like to stir the pot and say stuff to other people. That's not true.
Listen, to me, it just sounds like, man, you don't say anything wrong, man, and that's what it is. But let's talk about Broncos football, man, because we're not really getting anywhere with this conversation.
I make mistakes. Let me tell you this.
We're not getting anywhere.
Let me tell you this. I make mistakes all the time.
Yeah.
I make mistakes as a man, as a father, as a dad.
I mean, we all do, right?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
But you want to know the difference.
Do you know people?
You know, I don't like disrespect in the way that you talk about somebody's craft. That's taking it too far. And it's crazy
wanted me to be fired or you could destroy me or something like that.
Are you smiling when you say that? Look.
Or do you mean it?
I actually am smiling when I said that because I said that literally if me and D-Mac got on air and you're a strong personality, that I would definitely overshadow your strong personality and I probably would get hired over you, bro. That's all I said. And that was literally smiling in a text message, right? But I just want to let you know, okay? Mm-hmm. We're in a sport where we're criticized. And I don't want people to be like, "Well, Emmanuel, you know, if you didn't want to be criticized by D-Mac, you should have ever played the sport." You know, it's people out there like that, right?
Who are those
and I'm
people?
I'm not coming up here to say, "Oh, you criticizing me and you just..." I just wanted to know what problem that you have for me, because really the biggest concern was, why would you say that the Broncos should cut me and get rid of me? Because
a couple of years ago, you were weak in leadership and...
How do you know this?
How do you know this?
Give me...
A couple of years ago, yeah. It wasn't good.
Give me...
I don't. Do you really want me to give you like specifics?
Yeah, give me a specific.
Because I don't feel like that now.
What? Give me a specific.
It feels weird to like go back for 2 or 3 years when.
Come on, D-Mac.
I can if you want.
People don't want to hear you backing away, man. I'm firing shots at you. Like, "No, Emmanuel, I didn't say that. I didn't say that, Emmanuel. I didn't say that. You changed this and that." But let's talk about Broncos football. How about that, man? We got a new quarterback, Joe Flacco.
He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
I have some personal questions for you, though.
What personal questions?
Because I.
So now we're gonna get into my personal life.
No, because I want to know you better.
So
I do, but if we don't have.
So
to
if
go
you want
to
get to know me better, we'll talk off air. How about that?
Okay,
we're not talking about my personal life. We're talking about you criticizing me as a player, right? This is a sports radio show.
Because as a player, you've been fantastic.
Okay, so what are we talking about? We're talking about my leadership in the locker room, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you want to know? Last year, I led the guys well, right? The previous year,
last year was a mess. Last year, I don't know who was leading last year. Last year was a mess top to bottom. For example.
Oh, my God, man.
No, it wasn't?
You just don't understand how this goes, man.
Tell me how it goes.
See, you...
Tell me about last year.
See, you credit leadership with record, right?
No.
What do you credit leadership with?
Leadership is complicated.
Okay,
but I think
so if you're playing
for something more than yourselves.
If you don't credit leadership with record, okay, then if there's bad leadership on a team and a team's winning, are you still going to be critical of the leadership of the team?
They want me to take a commercial break right now.
I don't need
to take any break, but we can take a commercial break.
This guy's funny.
A lot of people are listening.
You guys, this guy is hysterical, man.
That's right.
This guy's funny, man. I see why you got a job, though. You're bold. You're bold, bro. You're bold.
All right, let's take a quick break.
But you still can't mess with me on air.
More with Emmanuel Sanders next.
The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Take it easy.
D-Mac, Zach By, Emmanuel Sanders. I just let you go. I mean, you can keep going. What else you got? Let's go. That was fun.
We just had a good conversation. I feel like...
I was going to say the way...
Hey, me and D-Mac friends.
Things just got so pleasant in the commercial break.
We should have never took the commercial break,
right. We shouldn't have taken a break because we realized we actually have some things in common, which is, God forbid, that you have something in common.
Oh, I knew we were going to have something in common. We two strong personalities, man. I mean, at the end of the day,
listen,
I feel like we both...
Listen, the past year, okay? The season is a season. It was terrible to lose. You were having a great year. You'd tear your Achilles in just a nothing sort of moment in... I mean, it happened when the media was there, which is like, nothing happens then, really.
Yeah.
You've had foot injuries, but you know it's funny because I did do a little research. I do know more about you personally, but I don't want to.
It's more on the internet about me.
Well, I won't dig into like bad things, but I know you have had a lot of foot injuries throughout your career. I know that you've had to scrape for everything you've had.
Yeah,
I know you have two younger sisters that I'm gonna guess mean a lot to you. I know you've got a beautiful woman in your life and two wonderful kids.
Yep. God is good, man.
I know you went through a horrible tragedy. When I found this out, I was so sad about your mom passing away at such a young age.
Yep.
And I'm so sorry about that, by the way. Way too young at age 41. When you were 24 years old. So I know you signed, you had a weird deal with the Steelers where they didn't offer you a contract. But a lot of teams did.
No, Steelers offered me a contract.
Okay.
They offered me a crappy deal.
Okay.
They offered me 3-year, $9 million, $1 million guaranteed.
Okay.
And it's crazy because I never forget when they offered me the deal. I declined the deal, and I went into Kevin Colbert's office. It was the last time I was at the Steelers facility. And I walk in, I'm talking to Kevin Colbert. I tell him, I don't want to take the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at me, he goes, who do you think you are, Antonio Brown?
Wow.
He said that to you.
Yeah. And I remember...
What did you say?
I remember leaving that office. I wanted to say, F you.
Like, yeah.
But I just got up and I said, I'll never forget that. And I remember I was like extremely mad. And I walked past Mike Tomlin's office and he pulls me out. I said, man, Kevin Colbert just disrespected me more than ever. As you can see, like when somebody disrespected me, like D-Mac, I don't like it, you know? So... I go into Mike Tomlin's office and he tells me, look, E, like, you know, Kevin might have said what he said, but at the same time, we just don't have the money to pay you. And I said, I respect that, but at the same time, you don't have to disrespect me when I turn down a crappy deal.
All right. You got a good deal from, well, then a lot of teams were interested, and you got a good deal from the Broncos, but you were very close to being part of the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I actually don't know that, and I don't know if you want to share that or not.
Oh, I share it. I mean... I remember I went there and I went to sign a three year, $15 million deal, possibly $18 million in incentives. The exact deal I got with the Broncos. So I'm at the Kansas City facility and they're trying to get me to sign a 4-year, $12 million deal. And so I'm looking for the 3-year, $15 million deal. So my agent's calling me, the Chiefs are bull crabbing. And he goes, San Francisco, if you get on a plane, they will offer you the exact deal. I was like, how come they just don't give me the deal right now? He said, they want to meet you, get on a plane. So I think I had like, my plane was leaving at 6 o'clock. I was at their facility around 4. The GM comes in, he says, you know what, we'll give you the deal, 3 for 15. So I'm happy, right?
Okay.
I'm happy. I'm in Andy Reid's office. You know, he's telling
me a chief.
He's telling me how, you know, he's excited to have me. How he's showing me all these catching techniques and what he's going to teach me and how he's going to give me the ball. And so Andy Reid leaves. And I remember I was at a hotel. And so I had talked to Andy Reid. I had talked to Andy Reid, and then something had happened where something had fell through. But pretty much, I was getting ready to go to the airport to go to San Fran, right? Because it was supposed to be 3 for 15.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to San Fran. They're trying to keep me in Kansas City, right?
Right.
So the GM calls the receivers coach out there, and he goes, Telly Manuel will give him the deal. So I'm excited. I'm like, all right, cool. So me and coach, she's like, yo, you about to be my coach. I get back to the facility. By this time, I've already missed my flight to San Francisco. I've already missed my flight. And for some reason, the story seems shaky because I can't remember when I talked to Andy Reid, but I remember talking to Andy Reid celebrate. So I get back there because they told me they were going to give me a 3 for $15 million deal. When I get there, the GM tells me, yeah, 4 for $12 million because they were trying to keep me there overnight to keep persuading me, right? So I'm pissed because I already missed my flight to San Fran. So I go into Rome and I'm just like, yo, this is crazy. Like, I can't believe they did that. But by that time, everybody who I had visited on my trip, the Buccaneers, San Fran, they're all calling saying, 3 for $15 million, we'll give it to, because they heard I was getting ready to sign with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Where are the Broncos in this mix?
So listen.
Okay.
So I'm in a room, and I remember I texted all my family, and I said, what team should I go to? Should I go to San Fran? Should I go to Kansas City, or should I go to Tampa Bay? Right? And so I called my agent once my family texted me all back, and I'm getting ready to sign with the Chiefs. So right when I called my agent, literally picks up the phone. I'm talking to him. He goes, hold on. He clicks back over. He says, this is the Broncos. John Elway said that he'll offer you 3 for $15 million, $18 million guaranteed. So right then, there, in the Kansas City Chiefs facility, I made my decision. I said, say less. I'm playing with Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. So here I am. The GM's waiting on me to walk out of the room and tell him I'm getting ready to be a Kansas City Chief. I walk out, and I'm telling him, I said, look, I didn't even tell him I signed with the Broncos. I was like, I just want to go back to my room and really decide what I want to do, you know? I'm like, I just want to decide what I really want to do because I don't know. I didn't want to tell him I'm signing with the AFC West team, but I'm excited because I know what playing with Peyton Manning is going to do. So the next thing you know, this is why I had to tell you guys that when I had talked to Andy Reid and we were talking about, you know, because that's what happened. Andy Reid was like, I know the deal is going to work out. I got to go pick up my son. Or his daughter. I think he has a kid. So he had to leave. Well, come to find out, he found out that I was trying to leave a facility and I had possibly signed with another team. So I'm getting ready to walk out because they wouldn't really let me leave a facility because I didn't tell them I signed with the Broncos or I'm going to sign with the Broncos. I didn't tell them anything. So I walk outside. I see Andy Reid's SUV flying down to Kansas City Chiefs like a facility. Flying. He hops out. He goes, what the? What happened?
Oh, he had heard.
Yeah, somebody had called him and told him. He goes,
and you're still there.
Yeah, wow. I'm still there. Put me
That's uncomfortable.
I'm comfortable. So I'm sitting here like, Andy, like, it's really nothing you could tell me right now because I'm definitely paying with Peyton Manning. He's like, no, come to my office. And we get in his office, and he literally sits in his desk, and he just stares at me. He's just like, what happened? What happened? And I'm just like, man, I just want to get back to my room and really think about what I want to do. You know, like, I know, like, you're pressing right now, but I just want to get back to my room.
And from that point, eventually you get out of there. The rest is history.
I get out of there. I'm standing at their hotel, on their hotel, and I know I'm getting ready. It's crazy because I get back to my hotel, and I'm so happy, right? Hey, man. And, I want to order a bottle of champagne, but I don't want to do it under Kansas. This is how you know I'm a good dude, D-Mac.
We'll see.
We'll see. Show me, buddy. Show me you're good. So instead of putting the champagne on the Kansas City Chiefs bill, getting ready to sign with the Broncos, I put my card down and pay for my own bottle of champagne.
There you go. Here's what else I know. It was part of the greatest Broncos era. Significant part. Huge significant part. And then you get a huge deal. A huge deal. I mean, gotta be. You were popping champagne then. I can't even imagine. 3 years, 33, 20 guaranteed.
Yeah, it was huge. It wasn't as huge as I thought I wanted it.
Okay, all right.
Never is, partner.
All right. So it leads me, and we're going to have to take another commercial break, but this is a tease. It's a tease, man. Yeah. Doing some talk radio here.
Yeah.
It leads me, you got 1.5 picked up just a couple days ago, or a week ago, whenever it was, right?
Yeah.
The rest of it is not guaranteed, though. You got to, crazily, this deep in your career, I suppose, make the team again, right?
Yeah.
Got to do it every year.
Mm-hmm.
Got to compete every year.
Yeah.
They can fire me from this job, Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm.
You're encouraging them to do so. Every year it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to fight for it again. My question for you when we come back, because we got a commercial, right, Raj? I know. Awful commercials. What drives you to keep playing football? Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, sir.
It's my people's holiday.
Hey,
right.
Irish.
Yeah. What drives you to keep playing next year? And if you were listening, you would have heard me say, there's no way, Jose, Emmanuel should take some sort of restructure. Said it many times.
As recent as today, he did.
And what I think is really kind of a bummer, if you didn't get hurt, I think you would have been well within your rights to Le'Veon Bell it up. And you would have had my full support on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've covered this league since the early 90s in Buffalo. That was my track record when I started in my young 20s, and now I'm almost 50. I know how fleeting it is, and I never, ever, ever hold players, a bad thing about players who are trying to do the best for themselves. I mean, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So what takes you to that point now, and what's that going to look like? Because I want to know from you when we come back, is this the start of something or is this the end of something?
Okay.
All right, that's next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Do you want to continue to be a Denver Bronco? I mean, I think the door is open for you to be the guy around here.
I don't know. We're going to see. You know, obviously, I work my butt off. So we're going to see. But all I can focus on right now is the Houston Texans and trying to win that game.
Now, that's the Sleepy Emmanuel. We didn't get Sleepy Emmanuel today, thank goodness.
I was hurt, man. Hey. My boy had just got traded.
Emmanuel Sanders, it's D-Mac. Zach, thanks for watching on Facebook. It'll be posted later at 1043thefan.com. And by the way, it's time for you to be a captain, okay?
Yeah. That's been hurting me, too.
Yeah, okay.
It should.
That's been hurting me.
Why hasn't that happened?
They always go with the quarterback.
Do you think the players' votes actually counted?
I don't think so.
No, okay.
That's just truth. That's just truthfully, no. Like,
I wanted players, to make sure
they always walk up to me like, yo, I voted for you.
Yeah.
And me and Demaryius and Meg, like.
No, the worst was, like, last year was a mess. And last year, like, why wasn't Demaryius the captain again? Nothing against Matt Paradis.
Yeah.
But
I mean, obviously the players voted at least me or Demaryius.
Yeah,
everybody was telling us, but the coach is always going to make a decision. Okay. Like, Case Keenum was just coming in. And I mean, it's all conspiracy. You know?
Are you captain next year? Should be, right?
I'm hoping, man.
You want that challenge.
Of course I want that challenge. I was just talking to Ron O'Leary, me and him just trying to figure out how to get this thing turned around. No, I think that's why I'm so passionate, because, bro, I literally lose sleep over trying to turn this thing around.
Near the end, or are we, for you, we near closer to the end, or are we, is there something else? Is there another story here? Because you got, if you make the team, and I'm not trying to be mean or anything like that, and you know what the truth is.
Yeah.
The Broncos got a big decision.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You got $1.5 million. Awesome.
Yeah.
You got another, it's 10.2 coming.
Yeah.
Got to make the team, and it's got to. And I was digging into it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it can go as late as like the first game of the year.
Mm.
Am I right about that?
I don't even know the details.
Well, that's what I was told. But
yeah, truthfully, you know, people, they're gonna say this and that. I know where I stand. Where do you stand? I know where I stand with the Broncos, and this is where I stand right now. I'm coming off of Achilles. If I would have never told my Achilles, I would have been signing a major contract.
Agreed.
But now that I'm 32, I tore my Achilles, everybody wants to know, will Emmanuel Sanders have his explosion back? This is exactly what I think about when I'm going to work every single day. Would Emmanuel Sanders be the same Emmanuel Sanders that we all know? If so, we're looking forward to it, right? The moment I hit that field, people are going to be like, is he back or is he not, okay? And the moment that I am, because I'm definitely going to be back, okay, they're going to sit back and analyze the entire season. Can Emmanuel Sanders stay healthy a full season? Because the past 2 years, I've gotten hurt in, like, week 11 and week 12.
Are you on the inside of the slot or are you on the outside?
I don't know. We got a new offensive coordinator.
What do you want?
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You'd be okay playing the slot.
It doesn't matter to me.
All right.
You know, like I told him, I just like to catch passes. I want 10 targets a game or something.
I can't lie. I just, because I've said it on the air, so I'll say it to your face. I'm a fan of the Broncos dropping back. I think this quarterback stuff is a bunch of Haskins coming in, Locke coming in. I know, we're getting done here.
Wow.
I know.
Man,
time goes too quick.
Every 2 hours.
I know. Dude, I agree.
Yeah.
But the ideal world to me, where I think would be an amazing season for you guys. The Broncos move back. They pick up DK Metcalf, who can spread the field.
The wide receiver?
The wide receiver runs a 4-3.
No.
I see.
No, right?
I see you in the slot with the field wide open. And I see Cortland Sutton outside. How is that not a good plan?
I mean, I don't know. DK might be a player, but I don't know,
dude,
man. You're only basing it off his combine. And
thank you. Thank you.
I mean,
you know what he can do? He can run fast down the field, which is going to...
More importantly, we got to go. We got to go. But
you're wrapping this up?
No. I'm saying, where does this stand between you guys?
Where does this stand? I'm coming back in the studio. I have fun with you. I have fun with you guys.
Listen, I would love the opportunity, by the way, if you want, and if you really wanted to do just flat out sports talk. Really. If you really wanted to do it.
No, I think it'd be good for us to just talk about life and everything. I feel like we should have a show just talking about just realness.
Anytime.
You know, football, sports, life, things that's going on. Just give our perspective.
Give me the day.
Sometimes I might be wrong and sometimes I might be right and vice versa with you. But I feel like it'd be
I'm going to be more right than wrong. But
yeah,
it's
okay.
Going to be.
Say so. In your head.
All right. Hey, thank you. We appreciate you. We appreciate you being in.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
That's it. I guess we're done.
Sheesh, man. I wish you would have went for 2 hours. We were just getting good.
All right.
Come back next week.
All right.
Manager Sanders, see you later.
All
we got basketball.
Appreciate
NCAA
y'all,
action.
See you.
Bye.